Good evening and welcome once again. You're joined to see so many out this evening. And if you're here for the first time, we give you a special welcome. Special thrill to me tonight with one of my spiritual children, all the way from Toronto, Canada. And 4 weeks, Eleanor Burke's her name. 4 weeks tonight, she was with us in the Rexdale Gospel Hall in Toronto. And we had a most memorable evening when 3 souls came to Christ. 4 weeks tonight. So it'd be wonderful if some soul or souls would be saved here tonight. Shall we turn, please, to 4 scriptures. The first in the Gospel by Luke. 23rd chapter of Luke's Gospel. I'm reading verse 39:39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed at him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. The second scripture, again in the same book, Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. I'm reading verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. The third scripture in the epistle to the Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. And verse 11. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering of them the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Final scripture in the Acts of the Apostles. Acts chapter 17. And reading verse 31:31. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. Once again the Lord will bless these priceless sections of his holy word. I'm sure you observed this man, this man hath done nothing amiss. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of God. But in Acts 17, it's that man. God hath appointed the day in the which he will judge this world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, the man Christ Jesus. Luke's Gospel chapter 23, this man, the sinless man. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them, the saving man. This man, after he offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of God, the sovereign man. And God hath appointed the day in the which he will judge this world in righteousness by that man. He is the supreme man. Job longed for a man. He longed for a day's man. He longed for one that could take the hand of Jehovah and put his hand together into his hand and be united. He longed for a day's man, an umpire, a go-between. It was necessary, my friend, that God sent into the world a different kind of a man. Because the first man was off the earth earthy, but the second man, the Lord from heaven. He was a different kind of a man, God's new type of a man, in order that he might become a kinsman redeemer. And thank God for the words of Isaiah, when he says, a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. He longed for a special man, and thank God he came, in order that he might become a kinsman redeemer. Here upon the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ, here he is in chapter 23 of Luke's Gospel. And there, a most touching scene. Three men about to die. They both blasphemed the man on the center tree, but one had a change of attitude. One said, if thou be the Son of God, save thyself and us. But the other had a change of attitude, and he rebuked his friend. Dost thou not fear God? See, we're in the same condemnation, we indeed justly, but this man has done nothing amiss. A sinless man. And it's only a sinless man that could bring you back into fellowship with God. Nothing amiss. Notice, my friend, the occupation. This man. He was tripartite just like you and me. A body, a soul, and a spirit. But sin apart. And God employs the three major writers to bring before us this sinless man in all his acceptability. The Apostle Paul, that giant intellect, says, I'll tell you something about his spirit. He knew no sin. Lovely Peter that we've been examining these days together said, I'll tell you something about his body. He did no sin. And John said, I'll tell you something about his soul. And in him was no sin. Oh, what an occupation to be occupied with this man. And we have sung tonight about him, and he is a special friend. And we trust tonight before you leave this building, you'll be able to say, my beloved, I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine. Occupation. This man. Then there was perfection. This man has done nothing amiss. And then there was recognition. He says, Lord. You see, there were three things around the cross regarding these two men, the one on either side of the Lord Jesus. There was guilt, there was grace, and there was glory for the penitent thief. We indeed justly, we just deserve what we are getting. Guilt. My dear friend, tonight, if you're not saved in the building, you are guilty before the Lord. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Guilt. But tonight, the guilt and sin can be forgiven and forgotten through this man. Recognition. He says, Lord, I wonder tonight, have you ever recognized that the Lord Jesus is the only Savior of sinners? There's no other way for salvation. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord. That was the only encouragement the Lord got that day from this penitent thief. Lord, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He said, Lord, Saul of Tarsus going to the Damascus road says, who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus. Recognition. You must recognize him tonight to be the only Savior of sinners. Then there was expectation. Lord, remember me. Wonderful to know that there is a personal Savior who is interested in your soul. Remember me. And tonight, again, I appeal to you in the name of our blessed Lord. If you are not saved, I trust that you'll be able to say before you leave the building, Lord, remember me. It's a personal salvation. And there was anticipation. Lord, remember me when thou comest. He knew that Jesus Christ would come again. And then there was glorification. When thou comest into thy kingdom. My friend, he didn't look like a king. Hanging there in agonies and blood. No throne for his majesty, the King of Kings. But a cross. No footstool for his majesty, the King. But nails through his feet. No scepter in his royal hands, but nails. No royal diadem on his brow, but a crown of thorns. No royal honor guard, but a wall of steel of Roman soldier. No royal proclamation. No homage. But hatred. Crucify him. Get rid of him. He didn't look like a king. Every bone of his body out of joint. His face was beyond human recognition. As he became the target for the mailed fists of the soldiers, his visage was so marred more than any man. And his form more than the sons of men. He didn't look like a king. No royal apparel. They cast lots for his garment and his vesture and hanging there half naked upon a cross. But at that penitent thief, he was the king. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. No wonder the poet says the maker of the universe, as man for man was made a curse. The claims of law that he had made, unto the uttermost, he paid. His holy fingers formed the bow, where grew the thorns that crowned his brow. The nails that pierced his hands were mine,
in secret places hid his eye. He made the forest whence there sprung the tree in which his body hung. He died upon a cross of wood, yet made the hill on which it stood, the sun which hid from him its face, while his decree was poised in space, the skies which darkened o'er his head, while him above the earth was spread. The spear which spilled his precious blood was tempered in the fires of God. The grave in which his form was laid was hewn in rocks his hands had made. But the throne on which he now appears was his from everlasting years, and a new glory crowns his brow, and every knee to him shall bow. What a man! When thou comest into thy kingdom, though thank God that day for that thief when he was about to die. They were about to break his legs. His time was running out. My friend, time is running out for you. This might be the last opportunity that you'll ever get to put your trust in the Lord Jesus. And this thief who was guilty became the recipient of sovereign grace. Because we read in verse 43, and Jesus said unto him, the moment he says, Lord, Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee. Now he was brought before the Edomite Herod the Fox, and the Lord never spoke to Herod. He sealed his doom when he decapitated John the Baptist, the preparatory messenger of the Lord Jesus. But oh, when that thief said, Lord, he got an answer. And tonight, if you say, Lord, and mean it from the heart, be assured, you'll get an answer. Him or her that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. That was his conversion, the moment he says, Lord, and meant it. And we read, verily I say unto thee. That was his conversion. But oh, blessed be God for the vindication today. He was about to die. He couldn't speak about tomorrow or next month. The Lord says, today. My dear friend, let me tell you right now. Now is the accepted time, almost 7:15. Now is the day of salvation. The Lord promises to save your soul now, but he doesn't promise to save your soul tomorrow. Now is the accepted time, right now. Now this thief on the cross, he couldn't raise his hand. There was no demonstration, but there was a transaction that was sealed for eternity. I say unto thee today, what vindication. And for this thief there was consolation. Verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me. That's the way to die. To die in Christ. After the Civil War, or during the Civil War in the United States, D.L. Moody, after the Battle of Shiloh, was going down the Tennessee River with a cargo of wounded and dying men, crying, water, water, water. D.L. Moody on his knees gave them water and told them of the living water, the Lord Jesus, with young, lovely, young teenager lying on the deck. Semi-conscious. He said to the doctor, is there anything we can do to help him? No, he said, I'm afraid he's beyond help.
D.L. Moody says, is it possible for me to give him a little brandy in his water and try and revive him? An awful thing to die without identification. The doctor said, you carry off. Moody saw a man sitting beside him and he said to him, he says, what is his name? He said, his name is William Clark, just a boy. And he revived. And Moody said to him, son, do you know where you are? Yes, he says, I'm on my way home. Moody says, son, you'll never reach home. Have you got a message for your mother? Yes, he says. You tell my mother that I died trusting in Jesus. That's the way to die. Trusting in Jesus. Isn't the Lord good? Do you hear rain? Showers of blessing outside, and there can be showers of blessing inside. God is good. A gracious, loving, benevolent God. Consolation with me. When the Christians die on this lovely island, they are assured of where they are going to be with me. Having a desire to depart, says Paul, to be with Christ, which is far better with me. But notice the destination, the conversion, the vindication, the consolation, but oh, the destination, paradise, the day thou shalt be with me in paradise. And if you die, my friend, without Christ, I tell you tonight, it won't be paradise. It will be the pit. For there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth forever and ever. This man, the sinless man. Then we read over in John's Gospel, rather Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, there we read, or rather 15, about the saving man. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Now he's not interested in self-righteous people. He's only interested in sinners. In sinners. We're having meetings in Ontario, in St. Catharines, Ontario. A young man who went to his church every Sunday morning was invited by Brother Arnett McEntee to come to the meetings that night. And he sat right there where Brother Donald is, that kind of a seat. And before the meeting was over, he was right up behind us. He said, I've gone to my church every Sunday over the years since I was knee-high to a grasshopper. But I never knew until tonight that I was a guilty sinner bound for hell. And I'm not leaving the building until I get right with God. That dear man got down on his knees. And he asked the Lord to fill the void in his life. And tonight with his wife, they are missionaries in Quebec. The Lord filled the void in his life. He's only interested in sinners. And thank God from every walk of life, God has brought into his family sinners saved by precious blood. Even the vehicle, the virgin that brought the Lord into the world, she knew that she had to get saved. And she says, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit doth rejoice in God, my Savior. This man receiveth sinners. So you might be very religious tonight in the building, but God is not interested in your religious obligations or capacity. He's only interested in you if you recognize that you're a sinner. In my native city of Edinburgh, from the field of medicine, God saved a man, a medical doctor, the man that discovered chloroform. He said there were three sights that he would never forget.
One sight was a man being dragged through the streets of Edinburgh, down the high street to be flogged publicly for a simple misdemeanor. Flogged. But Dr. Simpson says, I never saw one standing by that would take his place. And that was the last of that kind of punishment in that day. A second sight he said he would never forget was a man being dragged down the same street to the gallows to be hung for robbing a stagecoach. But he said, I never saw anyone willing to take his place. The third great sight, he says, I will never forget it in time or eternity, was a man on the brink of hell, going down into the abyss. But thank God there was a man standing by who was willing to take my place. And Dr. Simpson, the man that discovered chloroform, came to Christ that day because of the man that died on the old rugged cross to save his precious soul. And from the field of music, God has saved many precious souls. The 1972 Jerusalem Post had an interesting article there about Arthur Rubinstein, the famous, world-famous pianist, having an interview with Golda Meir on public television. And she said to him, Mr. Rubinstein, what has been the greatest moment in your illustrious career? He thought for a moment. He said, Mrs. Prime Minister, the greatest moment in my career was when I took Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus, as my personal Savior. She didn't expect that one. Momentarily stunned. And she said, from that moment onward, my life has been one of joy and peace. Is your soul troubled tonight? Then you can find peace. If your heart is sad tonight, you can find joy. And it will only have a beginning if you put your trust in the Savior tonight. This man receiveth sinners. You remember the prodigal? And we're all prodigals. We've all wandered far from the Father's home. But it's gratifying to know that when one comes to an end of themselves, gets down to business, and say, I have sinned, and I will return to my Father. And he'll smother you with kisses. He'll put his arms around you, and you'll feel underneath the everlasting arms. And come what may in this wicked old world, you can be sure of his everlasting arms never to let you go. He'll put a hedge around you. This man receiveth sinner, and eateth with them. Oh, he loves fellowship with those who are born again and in the royal family. Much more could be said, but over in the Epistle to the Hebrews, not only the sinless man and the saving man, but he is the sovereign man. How futile. Every priest standeth daily, offering oftentimes the same sacrifice that can never take away sin. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in the heavens. He is glorified at God's right hand, and he wants to save you tonight. That man of Calvary has won my heart from me and died to set me free. blessed man of Calvary. Friend, how can you turn him down? Love so amazing, so divine, demands my heart, my life, my all. He is the sovereign man. And tonight, there's a man in the glory. A man in the glory. And his name is Jesus. We will see him soon, those of us who are trusting in him, because time is running up. See the Soviet bloc disintegrating, and when men say peace and safety, look out for sudden destruction. For the Lord is coming back as a thief in the night, and a thief doesn't announce his coming. And so the Lord will come, maybe tonight, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. No wonder Fanny Crosby, that blind songster, wrote those precious words. O glorious face of beauty, O gentle touch of care, if here it is so blessed, what will it be up there? The sovereign man, finally, this man. But there's a change in the vocabulary by the sovereign spirit. God hath appointed the day. You see, friend, God works to a calendar. 1,000 years is as a day with him, and a day as 1,000 years. But for the sake of you and me, he works according to a calendar. The Lord came from heaven on a given day. He went to the cross because the scripture says when the fullness of the time was come, he came. He went to the cross and died on a given day. He said, "Mine hour has come." And he rose the third day according to God's calendar on the third, on the appointed day. Be assured, he's coming back on a given day. And he knows the day, and maybe this will be the day. And if you're not saved, I must warn you. You'll be left for judgment. And God has that day on his calendar. God hath appointed the day in the which he will judge this world in righteousness by that man. The man they despised and rejected and crucified, that's the man that God will put on the throne of judgment. And God's supreme court is not yet in session, but it's coming. And John said, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat in it, from whose face the heavens and the earth fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before him, and the books were opened, and everyone was judged out of those things that were written in the books, according to their works. And death and hell Death and hell brought before him those in the pit. The day is appointed. And if you don't get saved, you will indeed face that judge. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And when I see a man in Luke 16 in hell, crying, Father Abraham, he prayed too late. And he prayed to the wrong man. Father Abraham, send Lazarus back from paradise to cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Son, thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, but Lazarus evil things. He is comforted, but thou art tormented. That is a preliminary phase of the ultimate judgment. For death and hell, God will bring the ungodly out of the pit, somehow, someday, to stand at God's supreme court, to face his judge, to hear him say, depart from me, I never knew. Depart from me into everlasting judgment. And death, that monster that's cruel to us right now, death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. My friend, there's no language adequate to describe the awfulness of the lake of fire. So I appeal to you as I close. This man receives sinners, and tonight he wants to receive you into his family, and you'll be in paradise with the penitent thief, and with your dear ones who are saved, to enjoy the fellowship in that celestial city foursquare forever, forever. And forever. Be kind to your soul tonight, shall we pray. Gracious Father, we thank thee for extending out the day of grace, not willing that any should perish. There's not one soul in Spanish Wells could ever say that they were never loved by Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray tonight that thou shalt use thy Holy Spirit and these simple words spoken in the gospel to reach the heart of some of our dear, dear friends. Many have been the subject and the object of prayers for years, still halting between two opinions. We pray, Lord, tonight this will be the night of decision, and they'll cry like the penitent thief, Lord, remember me. And they'll never be turned down. So, Lord, take care of thy word and do for us what we cannot do for ourselves and multiply it to the saving of precious souls, for the encouragement of the saints, and for the glory of the man at thy right hand, we pray in his precious name. Amen. Shall we sing in closing? Number 251. Now the meeting is over. I'd like you to leave the building prayerfully, quietly, for this is the time when Satan can snatch away the seed. And once again, my friend, if you have a question, if you need some help, you talk to me. You can come to your home on the phone or whatever. Others who have the ability to help you by whatever you do, don't leave the building rejecting this man. 251.